I like those songs because they're real. Everybody's going through something. Amen? And I'm gonna preach something this morning that's just real. A lot of people come to church and they think they got you see people in church and you think we got it all together. Man, we got y'all fooled, ain't we? Some people think if you go to church and you get saved, everything's going to be perfect. You got to live perfect. You ain't going to never make no more mistakes. You're living in a dream world. Amen. This is a real church for real people. And this is going to be a real sermon. This ain't going to be one of them Joel Osteen pat you on the back and everything's going to be great. Amen. We all struggle. Acts chapter 9, I got a good bit of scripture I want to read, so if you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Probably going to read more scripture today than I've read as far as preaching in a long time. But I think we got to have the whole story, amen. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, talking about Christians, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, and bring to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul. Notice there was a difference. He went from Saul of Tarsus to Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that hath appeared unto thee in the way, has come and has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. And Lord, I pray, God, you would help us to try, as Lord, we try to preach this in a way, Lord, that you would be pleased, God. Help us to lift up Jesus and brag on nobody but him this morning, and everything else will work out. Lord, if there's one that's not saved, help them to get on the altar today, God. If there's one that's struggling, God, give them strength, Lord, through this. Whatever's done, we'll praise you and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So was Paul like you and I? When we think about the Apostle Paul, we think about probably next to Jesus, the greatest authority in the New Testament. If I'm not mistaken, the Apostle Paul, it was either 13 or 17 books of the New Testament that he wrote. I'm talking about this was a man that we set up on it. Paul even went so far, Brother Roberts, to tell people, said, be ye followers of Christ. Or be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Paul said, I tell y'all what, y'all look at how I do it and do it like I do it, and everything else is going to be all right. I ain't got enough guts to say that. Paul said, you just do what I do, amen. Paul was a great authority in the Bible. I want to preach a little while, and I want you to understand something. You can be religious and still not know Jesus. You can have a great education and not know Jesus. You can have a great upbringing and not know Jesus. You can sit in church until you are part of the crowd and still not know Jesus. You can have a zeal for the Lord and not know Jesus. So how do you and I compare to the Apostle Paul? I'll be honest with you, most of us would compare more to Saul of Tarsus than we do to Apostle Paul, amen? Or that's what we think in our minds. But in all honesty, that's not true. The Apostle Paul was a man just like you and I are. He faced hard times. He faced trouble. He had to go through hard times just like you and I do. The Bible tells, let's look at Paul's conversion or Paul's convictions before salvation. Philippians chapter 3 says this, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel after the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was raised right. I was a Jew from the beginning and I was raised in church. I was taught the law as the law. I was a Pharisee. He was in that crowd that crucified Jesus. He was in that high priestly crowd. He was in that crowd that was a religious zealot. He was in that crowd that would walk around wearing all the garb and wearing everything, you know, that wanted to look religious. Amen. That's who Paul was. He said, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. He said, I did everything that the law said I was supposed to do. In other words, David, he was one of them that he was like the Pharisee that stood and pounded his chest and fasted and said, I'm glad I'm not like that one over there. Paul said, I was blameless. Now go to Acts chapter 7. And then they cried with a loud voice. It's talking about when they stoned Stephen. When they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet who was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. In other words, Saul was there when they stoned Stephen. Saul was one of these Pharisees. He was being brought up into the Pharisees. And when they stoned Stephen, Paul sat there and held their clothes while they stoned the man of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. For as for Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Paul was raised in a religious family. Paul, I thought about this as Josh was teaching Sunday school this morning, and Josh got to talking about some of his kids. Paul got his convictions from his elders. Understand what I'm saying? Paul was sitting there holding the coats of all those that stoned Stephen. Paul gets it in his mind, Benji. This is what you're supposed to do to them Christians. This is what you're supposed to do to anybody that's not worshiping like we do. We're supposed to kill them. We're supposed to weed them out. And that's what the Bible says Paul was doing. When Paul got old enough to go out and do what he was supposed to do, he was doing just like he was taught. You want to know how come some of your children's like they are? They're doing just the way they were taught. So in that aspect, Paul's just like you and I. You better be careful how you raise your children. You better be careful how you act around your children. You better be careful how you talk around your children. Your children are watching everything you do. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to get their convictions from me and you. They're going to get their convictions from the church, or they're going to get their convictions from the world. Paul was doing just like he was raised to do. This is proof that you can have all the church you want and still not have Jesus. Paul was on his way to kill more Christians when Jesus got a hold to him. So that's how Paul was before Paul got saved. Now let's look at the Christ that Paul met. Amen. The Bible says in verse 3 through verse 5, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul said, Who are you? He still had no clue. Now some scholars say this, and I tend to disagree with it because I've done my studying and tried to figure it out. Some scholars say that when he said Lord the first time, he was basically saying, Sir. I don't think that's the case, because the same word is used in both instances, and it means Lord. Brian Paul didn't even realize who he was talking to. I'm going to give y'all a little clue. If you're ever walking down the road and a bright light shines around about you and you hear a voice and ain't nobody standing there, good chance you better take heed. Paul says, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, I am Jesus. Paul knew who Yahweh was. Paul knew who Elohim was. Paul knew who God was. But now Paul is meeting his son, glory to God. Now Paul's meeting the one that died on the cross. Paul's meeting the one that made it all. Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, you understand something. Paul was persecuting Christians. But Jesus said, you're doing it to me. Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. Folks, we need to be careful how we live. We need to be careful how we talk. We need to be careful how we treat people. Because Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. Some of y'all need to be careful how you act in a restaurant. Oh, don't leave church on Sunday morning all dressed up and go to that restaurant and then give that waiter or that waitress a hard time and they know you just left church. I'm just telling you right now, you know better than Paul was. Me and somebody was talking about this yesterday. I said, you know, my Lord, if you're going to go to a restaurant and you're going to claim to be a Christian, and a lot of times I ask them, can we pray for you? And a lot of times some of y'all, you know, we'll leave our card and we'll leave a little thing from the church. At least tip them good. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you treat your family. Paul was this kind. Jesus said, when you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. But Paul was saved by the same Jesus that you and I had to get saved by. Paul got saved the same way Peter got saved, amen. Paul got saved the same way Bartholomew got saved. Paul got saved the same way David got saved. Paul got saved the same way I got saved. It was the same Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Glory to God. There ain't but one way to get saved, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Paul got saved. He met the same Christ that you and I met. Now, Paul, look at Paul's conversion. Paul got saved. He never got over it. Amen? He never got over it. If you study the Bible, everywhere Paul went, he told somebody about it. The Bible, it don't record this in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas is in jail, you know. But the Bible don't record this. But don't you know how they would bring people in and chain them down to Saul or Paul? Can't you just imagine they coming in and I'm this Roman soldier, and they got old Paul down there in the bottom part of the prison, and I've been sent down there to guard him, and Paul says, hey, let me tell you a little something. Let me tell you what happened to me on the Damascus Road. Oh yeah, he gets saved, they bring in another one. Let me tell you what happened to me. I mean, that's the greatest testimony you're going to ever have in your life, how God saved you. Let me tell you, I can tell people about how I got shot, but I'm telling you, that's just on this side. But glory to God, that ain't had nothing to do with eternity. When I tell people how I got saved, the Bible says that Paul, he went before Festus, and he told Festus. He went before King Agrippa, and he told King Agrippa, you and I need to tell people how we got saved, and then maybe they can get saved. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He said every time he goes to a new church, Brian, and he meets new people, he comes up to the new people and says, tell me how you got saved. Tell me how you got saved. Tell me about your experience with Christ. Benji, tell me how you got saved. Ronnie, tell me how you got saved. See, the problem is a lot of people can't tell you how they got saved. If you can't tell me how you got saved, I wonder if you are saved. Paul got saved. Paul didn't play around with it, and Paul never got over it. And you got to understand something. You and I have got to, you and I need to let the world know there is a Savior out there that loves sinners. And I'm telling you, I try to tell people, somebody told me one time, Brother Robert, I just don't know if the Lord will save me. I don't know if the Lord will forgive me. I said, well, when's the last time you killed somebody? They said, well, I ain't never killed nobody. I said, when's the last time you burnt down a church? Well, I ain't never done that. Well, if God saved Paul and God saved Saul, then you ain't going to have no problem with it. That's how Paul got saved. Now let's look at Paul's calling. Paul, let me go ahead and tell you something. God didn't save you to sit on a pew. God didn't save you just to come to church and sit there like a knot on a log and run out the door every time we say amen and then come back. God saved you. God put a calling on everybody, every one of us's life. The Bible says that the Lord said in him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then Saul had certain days with disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he should be the son, how he is the Son of God. How can Paul start preaching so soon after getting saved? Because Paul was raised. He knew the scripture. And when Jesus showed up on the Damascus Road, everything that Paul knew about in the Old Testament came to light. Paul had a calling on his life. You and I have got a calling on our life. God did not save you for you just to sit there. God saved you for you to be a witness. God saved you for you to go out into the world, into the highways and hedges, and sow that seed, just like we were teaching about in Sunday school this morning. Don't worry about sowing it on good ground. Just sow it, glory to God. Don't worry about if it's going to take hold. Just sow it. You just go ahead and let everybody know that there's a Savior named Jesus Christ, and he loved you enough to save your sorry soul, glory to God. And he loved them enough to save their sorry soul, glory to God. You say, quick, you need to quit calling everybody sorry. Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Hey, the Bible says the very best you and I can do is filthy rags. But thank God for a Savior that loved us enough, that sent and died on a cross, that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. Amen. Glory to God. That's good. Now, don't you notice something? Now, here's where the sermon is going to get real. Paul had a constant thorn in his life. When Paul got saved, Brother Robert, just as hard as he had been against the church, when he got saved, Skip, he was that hard for the church. And see, in our minds, Adam, in my our minds, when somebody gets saved, I mean, everything ought to be great. In our minds, like Preacher Jack Lester, I heard him say one time, in our minds, when we got saved, man, we ought to have Kool-Aid coming out the faucets at the house. Yeah. They ought not send you no more bills, because I'm a Christian now. I shouldn't get no water bills, and I shouldn't get no electric bills. I'm saved right now. Everything ought to be peaches and cream, and I ought to be driving a Cadillac and have everything I want because I'm serving Jesus. But Paul went all out for God. Everything. Paul went all out. He gave his life. Listen to this. This is the man of God that wrote most of what you and I know as the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says this, thrice or three times was I beaten with rods. Well, that ain't right. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by heathens, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, not only that, but all the stuff that the churches I'm having to deal with. Wow. You know what I thought about when I've studied this? Life's life. Brenda sang the song, we're all going through something. Everybody. So praise God, I'd rather go through it with him. But then the Bible goes on. The Bible goes on and says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about how he was exalted. Paul talks about how he was called up to the third heaven. Paul said, I saw things that it's unlawful for me to even utter. Wow. Then he said, lest I be exalted above measure. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had to fight the flesh just like you and I do. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7 that Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. The thing that I don't want to do, that I do. But it's not me. It's the flesh or sin living in me. Understand something, folks. We cannot be perfect. I'm telling you, the very best that I can do is filthy rag. That's what the Bible, I make mistakes. I fall. We all stumble. We all fall. Every last one of us, we're going to fall. So if you think this morning that you're going to come and get saved and live perfect, that's a pipe dream. That's not true. Amen. None of us can live right. And the Apostle Paul, Brother Donald, that wrote most of the New Testament says, that I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and that I want to do, I don't do. They start. Amen. So guess what? Paul's a lot more like you than what you thought he was. Because how many of y'all messed up this week? How many of us had some bad thoughts? How many of us, let's just get honest. How many of us just made a royal mess of it this week? And the devil comes in, the devil says, and you're supposed to be a Christian?
That's right.
You're supposed to be a Christian, and you're going to act like that? And you're supposed to be saved? And you're going to act like that? You know what I have to do to the devil? Yeah, devil, that was me. Yeah. I preached a message one time, Brother Charlie, when the devil ain't got a lie. Yeah. You know, the Bible says he's the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. But I'm telling you right now, every time the devil talks to me and says, you a sorry joker, I say, yeah, you right. You right.
Amen.
But all I got to do is take him back to that cross. Said, devil, you remember on that cross, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I don't know about y'all, but I like taking a bath. I like getting in the shower. And you know, that's spiritually how life is. We all get dirty. We all, 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's my verse that I go to now. That's my verse that I've memorized to heart. I know John 3:16. I can understand how God can save somebody. I can understand how God can love somebody and save them. But all of us that are saved and we still mess up, Benji, and we still fall and we still do things we ain't got no business doing, that's the problem. That's the problem I don't understand. But all I know is he said it. And I believe it. It was Jesus that told the parable of the lost boy that left the father's house and wound up in the hog pen. Those words are in red if you got the right kind of Bible. So let me ask you a question. How much are you like Paul? Let me ask you a question. How many of us made a mess this week? How many of us would hate for what we've done in the past 7 days to be broadcast in front of this church? How many of us would hate for our thoughts and our actions to be broadcast in front of this church that we've done in the last 7 days. I'm talking about since Resurrection Sunday. I mean, we come in last Sunday, shouted it out, had a great time in Resurrection Sunday. I mean, it was great. Amen. Great. And in the last 7 days, you made a mess of it. Paul said, it's not me. It's sin that's living in me. But Paul knew how to get back to the Lord. Just ask for forgiveness. I wanted to preach this morning to encourage you and let you realize and let you know, listen, should we strive for perfection? Yes. Yes, we ought to strive for perfection. We ought to do our very best not to sin. But when we do, I want you to understand something. Jesus already made a way. Jesus already made a way. I want you to bow your heads.